Hammer Down Show back on 101.7 The Hammer and your 101.7thehammer.com and your mobile app. Cubs extending their lead now up three on the Pirates on the north side as they open up the second half. And I know that will please our next guest, Nate Barrett, all things Purdue sports, joining us on the Wings Etc. Hammerhead Hotline. Nate, happy Friday. How are you?
Gentlemen, how are you?
Great. How about you, man?
Oh, man, great to have you back, man. You've been world traveling, though.
Yeah, I did a little trip overseas, a little England, a little France. I had a good time.
Should have stayed for Wimbledon.
I'll tell you what, that whole area like around London, I mean, that is just like, and Paris too, my goodness. I mean, it's just, those towns go on forever and ever and ever.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, but it's always good to come home.
Yes. But I'm telling you, like going, you have all that energy and you're like all excited and the jet lag's not too bad. The jet lag on the way home, that stinks.
Yeah.
It stinks.
That's a little different story, isn't it?
It is. It is, especially for an old-timer like myself.
It takes a few days to readjust.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Well, now,
good to have you.
Thanks, man. Good to chat with you. You think about readjustments here. Clearly, for Carson Edwards, he's had no problem adjusting to the desert air, adjusting to the basketball in Vegas. What do you make of what Carson's been able to do so far for the Celtics?
That fella is going to play his way into a nice contract, isn't he?
Sure looks that way.
And it certainly seems as though Celtic fans are discovering what Purdue fans all knew and what everybody in the country knew after they watched him in the tournament. And he's obviously very, very serious about earning his way into a great position for the NBA. I mean, you think back on the last couple of years watching a little bit of that summer league that's kept growing. And I mean, can you think of too many that have had a better performance to kind of open the eyes of the world to them than he has? He's done a great job.
You surprised at all, or did you expect him just to continue on from that that March run he had?
I can't say I'm really that surprised, Duff. I thought that I get the size thing, but you know, I thought 34 was a little low for him in the draft. I thought somebody might sneak up and pull him in those high to late 20s.
Did you see that picture on social media? I think it was out there today. Daniel found it. It's like a picture of Carson Edwards and Taco Fall, like running up the floor together. And I swear Taco Fall
is
about 20 feet tall compared to Carson.
Yeah, I think my wife sent me that picture. It's great. That is a great picture.
I mean, at first you look at it and you're like, that can't be real. But then you realize that Mr. Fall is huge.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's a scorer. I mean, let's face it, he's a scorer. And if in that league, you remember Vinnie Johnson? I've been thinking about Vinnie Johnson. The old microwave would come off the bench for the Pistons. And if Carson could pull that kind of a routine for the Celtics, be some instant offense for them when they need it, then why the heck not? How many guys, you know, that league, you got to be able to get your own shot, and he can get his own shot. And a lot of college players can't get their own shot the way he can.
Nate Barrett with us, Purdue sports analyst on the Wings Etc. Hammerhead Hotlines. We talk some Carson Edwards and his excellence so far in the NBA Summer League.
All right, Nate, see if you can help us out here. The casual, I wouldn't even consider myself a casual NBA fan, so I don't really know all of the contract details, but I saw that the Celtics reached the deal with Romeo and Grant Williams, their two first-round picks. What is the following, I don't know, 2 weeks look like for their second-round picks, like Carson Edwards, maybe like a Trey Waters, or even someone they picked up like Taco Fall? How does it work? What needs to go next?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, if you play well, everything's going to fall right into place. Or... you know, if for some reason they saw an opportunity based on what goes on, you know, other teams are watching too. So, you know, maybe somebody else comes knocking on your door. And I think it's important for all of us to remember in the NBA deal, with all that's still happening, things could shuffle yet again for a number of these teams. And the part of the summer league is not just the development piece, but to also shake some of that out. You know, there's a lot of coaches out there in Vegas making deals, cutting deals. So, you know, deals are still there to be made, and you never know where everybody will shake out. But I don't think that there's any doubt that you're still going to see some people moving around.
So is there a certain amount of time that Boston has to sign Carson before another team can poach in, or are they is he the Celtics' property for a certain amount of days or the whole summer league?
Boy, I don't know. I don't know. Duff, you might know more, but I'm not that deep into the NBA contract rules. You know, I just knew about this year that they had that period of days where nothing was going to happen. You know, and then a lot of deals came together right after that period. I think what, July 2nd, July 3rd. But, you know, technically, I'm pretty sure Duff, he could, if they wanted to move him down to the G League. I mean, he's, you know, there's a lot of things they can do to keep him in the fold, even if he wasn't up in Boston.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I think being a second round pick, I mean, when you're a second round pick, as you know, it's all about trying to maximize the guarantees in that contract to help yourself out. And like you said, the way he's playing right now, he's definitely helping himself in that regard. We've been talking throughout the week about Drew Brees, you know, winning the ESPY earlier in the week, and kind of where he lands when you think about most famous Purdue alums, whether you're talking about sports or non-sports, you know, most recognized, most famous. Where do you stack him up with some of the biggest names to ever grace Purdue?
Well, first of all, you kind of think a little bit in eras. When you said that to me earlier today, I thought you have, you know, there's the Neil Armstrong, which I think he comes in. I think Neil Armstrong still comes in at number one,
right,
for the university, because Neil Armstrong's going to go down in history, and in a unique way for the country and the world. So there's that, and then you have other cultural Purdue icons like, you know, Orville Redenbacher and stuff that are kind of just cool and part of American culture. I think actually, as time goes by, on a little bit of an aside, I think Brian Lamb with C-SPAN will go down in a lot of history of the United States because of what that thing has provided to the country. But on an athletic point of view, I think it has to be John Wooden in that spot for most Purdue fans' hearts, and for what he was able to go on and accomplish, and then for the character of the man and the pyramid of success and all that you've learned about him in the subsequent years and all the books that have been written about his approach to life. But, I mean, I think Drew, in the course of his life, which, you know, good Lord willing, there's plenty of life left, we probably still have not even – we'll be amazed at what he'll do next after football. So there's a lot of chapters hopefully yet to be written there. But just from he's I think, you know, your greatest living athletic figure. And I think, you know, Leroy Keyes and Rick Mount will always be up there near the top two, and there's probably a lot of debate once you get past those two guys. But I think Leroy and Mount are up there. But I think after Mr. Wooden passed from the scene, I think Drew for Purdue globally, he's that face right now.
Yeah, and part of that too is the fact that you know, with his celebrity and just the celebrity status these days, and all the social media, and just how comfortable he is in that spotlight, it's so much different now than what it was back in the day when you think about a Neil Armstrong or a John Wooden in their prime.
That's what I mean. It's hard to compare the eras. But, you know, I think the Purdue fans look at Brees and they go, well, someday could he be commissioner of the NFL? Could he be commissioner of the Big Ten? Could he run for president? I mean, there's so many things out there that you could see him doing. And that football's made, you know, his connections even bigger than better than Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, or certainly in some ways getting to be as good. I think Manning did a lot with Papa John's, but Drew's getting to be quite the pitch man nationally. And then he's diversified his business interests, where he's doing some neat projects as an entrepreneur. So I think with him, there's just no end to what can come of it. And he also gets the whole student athlete piece in a unique way, because he wasn't that highly recruited, and because he's had to work and overcome injuries. And so his story is very inspirational to people, that he wasn't somebody that was high on the radar. Peyton Manning was on the radar nationally in a big way from high school on. It wasn't that way for Drew. And you know, Duff, having covered him, you know, we're an awful long way from a freshman from Austin, Texas, to where he is today has been a monstrous leap.
Yeah, and that was what we were talking about too, Nate, about like, okay, like, here's Drew Brees, and you talk about that monstrous leap. Like, okay, who's the next guy, who's the next gal at Purdue, whether it's sports or non-sports, that makes that big splash like a guy like he's made, like you're talking about?
Well, certainly Rondell Moore's got a lot of splash yet to make.
Yeah.
And I think Rondell could be awfully, awfully special, you know, by the time he leaves here. I think George Karlaftis is going to be very special, but I think, you know, Kerrigan was very special. It's harder for defensive players, you know, that we all gravitate towards running backs, wide receivers, and quarterbacks. That's just the nature of what you watch for offense. So I think, you know, we hope that Carson can have a unique niche for himself. I think Robbie Hummel's carved out a unique spot for him, himself, in kind of this new post full court basketball life. You know, he's going to do some great things in the TV world. But, you know, maybe Rondale's that guy. You know, maybe he's the next one.
It'll be fun to watch, no doubt about that. Nate, always great to catch up with you. We appreciate it, man. Have a great weekend.
Hey, all I could say, Daniel, is I'm going to have to dig in more to NBA contract law for our next show.
Okay, yeah. See, that shows how much I knew.
Whew. That's deep, brother. Have fun with the Aviators tonight. Have a good weekend, guys.
Thanks, you too.
Nate Barrett, all things Purdue sports on the Wings, etc.